What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another lovely edition of Jaybird Watching. I am Craig Boren, your host this week. Brendan Panikkar is with me, as always, and here to help me celebrate. It's my birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, Mr. Boren.
There you go.
The mastermind behind the whole operation. How's your birthday gone, man?
I have a beer in hand. Can't be too bad.
Yeah, you should have a second. Should have a second one for me, since I'm not drinking this entire month. Oh, there you go. Yeah, there's mine. You can have it.
There you go. Mr. Panikkar here is doing the whole I'm not drinking for November fun. So yeah. I'm technically not drinking in November. I'm drinking an Oktoberfest.
Hey, that's it. There you go. You can bend the rules however you want.
Canadian Sam Adams commercials or anything up there, but right now it's just there. You have this ad campaign. It's your cousin from Boston, and they get just do all this stupid shit.
No, and probably the stupid Boston accent.
Boston guy, basically, and he's at an Oktoberfest, and he goes, "Hey, Oktoberfest, this is great," you know, stuff like that.
I'm very glad I can't see that commercial. By the way, you described it.
Pretty amusing, honestly, for being, yeah. You've been to Boston, and you know, enough of our Blue Jays fans have seen Boston. Anything, you know, it hits the stereotype. Just saying.
I can only imagine. Can only imagine.
Which I think is hilarious because the brewery is in Boston and they're poking fun at themselves. At least you can have fun, right?
Yeah, Sam Adams is a good beer, I will say that. So you picked a good one.
Very good there. So, but anyway, like I said, it's not just my birthday. It's also the Blue Jays celebrating the fact that it's basically the real off season.
Finally. Yeah.
Hot stove season is officially going, Brendan.
It's nice. And
plenty of things that we get to look forward to. We're going to get to that just in a moment because oddly, there is actually Blue Jays news here on November.
I know.
And the fact is, celebrate. I'm going to let you break the news. We got an award already for one of our favorite players.
Yeah, man. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. wins the Hank Aaron Award for the best player or the best offensive player in the American League. That is a pretty prestigious award for somebody who's only 22.
And literally hits the ball out of the park this season, too. There's like no better perfect way of saying it. And I think it's a special honor, and I think it's great that he gets to do this, especially like you said, at the age he did, because he did easily have the best offensive season in the American League and arguably even in baseball, because the National League winner was Bryce Harper. And kind of like Vlad a little bit, it was a little bit mixed batch for him at a couple of points in the season, but yep. To that point, the numbers at the end of the day speak for themselves, and Vlad is standing on top of that mountain as far as offensive prowess. We're going to see what that means for other awards and platinum being brought home, maybe, but at this, and things look great, and I couldn't be happier for him. And the Blue Jays obviously not going forward. Better Junior going like this.
I can only remember one slump this season for Vlad, and that was in August, and that's when the Blue Jays stumbled right before they got red hot to end the season. So, and you know what? There was maybe a little bit of a stumble in around that Twin series and Rays series that kind of ultimately cost them a playoff spot. But could you, like, outside of those two minor slumps, he was just phenomenal, and there's no other way to put it. Very well-deserved award. I don't think there's anybody else who deserved it, which is why he got it. And honestly, I know that there's going to be the whole debate the next week over AL MVP and him versus Shohei Ohtani and a second Blue Jay who's up for it, even though I think the second Blue Jay doesn't really have much of a shot, unfortunately.
Which is sad.
It is sad because he had a great year. He had a fantastic year.
Incredible year.
Any other year, and he probably wins the MVP. He just had to go against Shohei Ohtani, who actually stayed healthy and was able to pitch and hit. Whether the injury at the end of the year for Ohtani derails him for MVP against Vlad, we'll see. But I think that the Hank Aaron Award is huge for Vlad. And it also is kind of like the way it's like, okay, if he doesn't end up winning MVP, at least he has his Hank Aaron Award, and that still signifies best hitter in the American League. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Very much so. And who beat him in 2019? Semien, that is. He was number three, I believe, in the All-Star. And I'm guessing it was Mike Trout.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Trout. I just can't remember who else was up for it in 2019 in the American League. It would have been Trout, Semien, and I can't even think. It just seems so long ago that season, even though it's not that long ago.
Community ago with COVID and
I know, right?
Horrible and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but we had a pretty good beer that last game of the season. Just saying.
Yeah, 100%.
So, but other things going on now that we've celebrated as much as we humanly possibly can with what we can celebrate with in tonight's show. Like I said, the next episode was called the Hot Stove Celebration Kickoff Party, thing. And the way that started off and kicks off is the fact that all teams had to have their qualifying offers in for their to maintain their players and be able to get the draft pick compensation and everything that they would get for quote unquote said free agent leaving and going to another ball club. The Blue Jays put qualifying offers on two players, not shocking, of the two that they picked, being Marcus, we were literally just talking about, is probably the third place MVP vote this year, or at least top five finish. Definitely. And then Robbie Ray, who in all everything I've been seeing is basically a 50-50 flip of the coin right now with Eric Cole's Cy Young Award.
Definitely.
I don't understand how that is when somebody was godlike down the stretch and then Garrett Cole was a pile of shit. But just personal opinion. So, but Brendan, I don't think you're shocked by this, and this is the Blue Jays just covering and hedging their bet to the fact that if one of those two guys don't come back, or both of them don't come back, they're still getting something to put back in the kitty and whatnot and make sure that they can still build this team up the way that they've been talking about.
100%. And I think the only one that really you can dive into is obviously the decision to not qualify Steven Matz and gave him a QO. And that one, I think we kind of debated it the last couple episodes that we were on with Chris and just talking through that, because that was one of the only things to start talking and debating until now that we have actual stuff to talk about. But none of the moves ended up surprising me. I think it was a 50-50 decision if they were going to give Steven Matz a qualifying offer or not. That's a lot of money for Steven Matz, and I think he would have taken it, which I would have been fine with, because it's just a one-year deal. Now, What was the actual dollar figure again that the QO came in at this year?
18.5.
So maybe they decided to not do that, to go talk to Steven Matz and try to get him on a longer deal with less money per year and to have a little bit more to play around with.
Which is what the rumor was that I believe Ian Hunter and a few other Blue Jays, insiders and whatnot mentioned that there was an offer. They had talked. Yes. I believe they were centralizing it around a 2-year deal.
Yeah, there was a contract discussion. They did offer Matz, according to John Heyman, a contract after he declined the QO. Now, interestingly enough, I retweeted it just before we hopped on. There's some, I don't know if he's like a blogger or a YouTuber, but somebody who's actually at the winter meetings, like nobody accredited or anything. You can go and walk into the winter meetings if you ever are there, or the GM meetings, you can walk in. But somebody, check it out on my feed. So, somebody actually is there and said that he saw Blue Jays brass talking to Steven Matz himself at the GM meetings. So take that for what it's worth. I think they're in pretty steady conversation about a reunion and bringing him back. And if they do, that would be a nice piece of business to get done very early in the offseason, because then you got four starters you can count on going into the 2022 season. You got Ryu or Berríos going opening day, the other one going game two, Manoa, Matz, and you're off to a great start. And if, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll get into it with some trade talks later on in the episode. But let's say, and we kind of talked about this last episode with Chris, let's say the free agent market starting pitching wise goes belly up and they don't end up getting anybody. Then at least you have Ross Stripling as your fifth guy, and then you have a decent rotation to start. But I want to shoot, I want to aim higher than Ross Stripling in the five spot. So we'll see.
I tend to agree with you, because right now, as much as we had some issues with Steven Matz at times during the season, yeah, he ended up having a really solid season and easily a fourth starter, fifth starter guy most major league rotations. And just to say it out there, a guy like Steven Matz would have made the Atlanta Braves run away with the playoffs, because it was that good. But after they lose Charlie Morton, they needed somebody. That's that next level of defense to be able to turn around and run with a, you know, to be a winning team at that time. So this team on paper in the pitching rotation, assuming that Robbie Ray does go somewhere else into whatever greener pastures that might be for him, the Blue Jays are going to need somebody like Steven Matz to anchor behind Berríos and Ryu. We already saw that Ryu might be not the Ryu that he was 2-3 years ago with the Dodgers. But to that point, he is still infinitely a great starter. And that is not going to, I'm not trying to put that down at all. But right now, if you're telling me who the ace on this is right now without Robbie Ray, I'm looking in the direction of Jose Berríos to take that next step to be the number one guy. If you have him and Ryu at the top of this rotation, followed by Steven Matz and Alek Manoah, that's starting to look a lot more like a thick, normal, everyday rotation. So that's why you went and go for the qualifying offer on that would be the idea. You just, he's going to take it.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. Never
in a million years going to be competing with anybody for him on that. I think if they tagged him with that qualifying offer, he's stuck basically signing with the Blue Jays, because he wouldn't have gotten a one-year offer at least.
Sorry, not to cut you off. I wonder if maybe, you know what, maybe they acted in good faith and didn't give him that so that he can go out and see what offers are out there when he doesn't have a QO attached to him and have that steady communication. I know you don't have to operate that way as a front office if you want to get a deal done, but you never know. Maybe they didn't QO him because they were in steady talks. Maybe they're like, okay, here's an offer for you. You can take it. You can let it sit on the table for a little while, go see what else you can get and come back to us. And maybe we'll up our offer, or you end up taking the one that we give you. So who knows?
And to that point, my guess is whatever that two-year deal is, that's just sitting on the table right now.
Yeah.
Take it, leave it right now. It might, like you said, it might alter throughout the time frame here with what's going on the market and whatnot. Maybe all of a sudden Steven Matz is the best guy in the market and we're desperate and, you know, just throw money at it, just get him back. But looking at the free agent pitchers, there's a lot of guys in that same kind of ballpark as Steven Matz, but we already know what we're going to get from Steven Matz. And the fact that things were progressing and getting better consistently with Pete Walker doing his tutelage of what he does, maybe a one-year deal is all of a sudden the same deal for Robbie Ray next season. Matz, I'm not saying that Steven Matz is going to run away with a Cy Young award. So don't put me on trial yet. But to the fact that if he becomes a guy after one more year being under Pete Walker's tutelage, a guy that gets into the, you know, 3.5 ERA ballpark with 180 innings in his shelf, rather than the guy that's in the high threes, fours ballpark, he's going to get that payday he wanted this season. And that will be the difference in the world. But if just the fact that the Blue Jays are keeping that line open and they were happy to negotiate past the qualifying offer to a two-year deal shows that they're not trying to just make the flash in the pan deal and continue this thing riding out, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. And there's always going to be a market for people like Steven Matz, a reliable guy at the back end of your rotation. And that's why if you lock him in, you get him for 2, maybe 3 years tops, that's a win in my books. And I think that's a piece of business that could get done quite quickly. I don't think that'll be something where you got to wait for CBA uncertainty or anything like that. You sign the guy, get him in, and then you know you got four rotation spots locked down. You work on improving the fifth spot. It doesn't have to be a fifth starter you add, but it could be somebody at the front of the line that pushes everybody back a little bit. But there's a lot of directions they can go.
because we have a lot of rookie question marks.
Yeah.
Past that idea, what we were just talking about.
Exactly.
Some people have an opportunity to step up in that equation, but
Thomas Hatch.
And I would love to see some of the other guys that we've talked about for years on this show now. The fact that Eric Pardino is still in our minor league system and everybody's forgotten about him. He hasn't gotten a real chance to even pitch in the last couple of years. What's he going to do when he finally is healthy and does pitching? Because that kid was one of the best pitchers I've ever seen pitch at that level when I was watching him in Bluefield. Just insane. So there's plenty of good things going on in the Blue Jays minor league system, but you can't count on another Alek Manoah happening to that point. It's only happened a few times in Blue Jays history that somebody has come out of the minor leagues to steal a rotation spot to that kind of level where they solidify it for a playoff run. And the only couple I can think of off the top of my head is like Juan Guzman and Pat Henken.
Yeah.
So that long.
No, I know.
I know I make the joke a lot, but Josh Towers didn't exactly save us in 2007, 2009.
No, not really.
The Brian Talletts of the world and whatnot. But, hey, like I said, you need them for filling in bullpen spots and everything, too. So that's not against the problem. But to that point, this is a better team on paper and going into 2022 with Steven Matz on this roster. So other than that, a lot of other teams, and I know we didn't talk about this in the fun with whatnot, but there's a lot of guys that I was surprised that didn't get qualifying offers that are going to be free agents. Some guys that that are becoming free agents that are opting out. And we're going to get to talking to some of those guys here in a few minutes, but I want to talk first things first. There's a fire sale that was all of a sudden going on with the Cincinnati Reds. They traded their young prospect catcher to the Detroit Tigers.
Yes.
A lot of throw-in players. I would say there's a lot of prospect talent there. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that if they're ready to throw guys like Tucker Barnhart to a team like the Tigers just to get prospect capital back, that roster is fully ripe and loaded for the Blue Jays to pillage, and probably to the point of pillaging where they could get some guys that are great guys going forward. Like, I was looking, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, fuck, give me Jesse Winker now. I didn't care if it meant. Because we don't have outfield, but I was just, the kid's in talented crazy. And then the fact that, you know, you might be able to buy low on somebody like, you know, Suarez, that's a third baseman. We need a third baseman. You know, there's some options there, Brendan. Go ahead and run with it.
Oh, remember all last offseason, you, me, and Adam talking about what they can do, and third base was an option. We had that hypothetical trade talk of Luis Castillo and Eugenio Suarez to the Blue Jays, and Luis Castillo is very available, it seems. That's the big rumor right now that John Heyman put out there the other day, and maybe even, Jeff Passan, saying that that's a fire sale waiting to happen. Cincinnati's right for the picking. I'm kind of shocked, to be honest with you, because they almost made the playoffs. Like, I don't know if they've just kind of deciding that, like, it's going to be too tough to make it the next little while. They're just not good enough to make it. They made it in 2020. A lot of teams made it in 2020. But still, there's a lot of talent to take from the Cincinnati Reds.
It's like, peace, I'm out of here.
Yeah, right. It's just like, okay, here's our cup of coffee. But yeah, I think that's a match made in heaven. I think Luis Castillo is exactly the kind of guy that they would make another big splashy trade to get, a guy like Luis Castillo, because I believe he's under contract until the end of 2024 or 2025, depending on how many more years of arb he has. But regardless, he'll be around for a while. That's somebody who's still scratching the surface with his potential. And wow, that would be an ad. If you add on Eugenio Suarez, as you mentioned, maybe you lessen the prospect pool that you have to give up by taking on Mike Moustakas' contract. I think that's just a prime trade that this team can make and this front office can make. So watch the Blue Jays and the Reds. I would not be surprised if they get together for a trade.
Yeah, it screams the fact that it's just, if they're trading a young catcher, a good, young, talented catcher like that, they're not going to find another catcher to throw in through free agency to get that kind of production out of, like somebody like with the kind of thunder that Tucker Barnhart and being a good catcher. To give Blue Jays fans, that's the equivalent of like what we were getting out of or seeing on the opposite side, like Mike Zunino with the Rays. He's going to catch a great ball game for you, and he's just going to run it 30 home runs this season. So, but then there's some other ideas too that I don't think this really fits the Blue Jays too, but is a homecoming for somebody like Joey Votto completely out of the equation?
I mean, I would not turn down Joey Votto. That's for sure. I would not turn that down.
It just screams that would be the difference. That's the same idea of bringing somebody like Marcus Semien back to your team. If you can't bring that veteran presence back, maybe you're getting this back in the base math. Joey Votto had a career year last year, again, at the age of what? 334, something like that.
I'm not checking how old he is, because I keep on thinking he's a little bit younger than he actually is. 38. He's
been baseball for fucking forever.
38? It's crazy. He's still really damn good.
Wherever he goes is going to be his last team he's probably going to play with. And if he with the fact, if you are the Cincinnati management and you have done everything we've ever asked you to do for this organization, and we haven't been able to get you that World Series that we were hoping to be able to get you, they've had a few playoff performances. Wouldn't you be asking him where he would want to go and then figure out how to trade? And I would think that the Blue Jays might be one of those teams that he has a chance to win home. You know, things would spell out that way to be able to be a match made in heaven. And I'm not going to lie, the fact that him and Vladdy paired up at first base and DH is pretty damn intriguing to me. Yeah, I don't see it happening, but I can't help. This is the fun of the offseason. I can dream and do whatever the hell I want in my head. Yeah, play MLB with whatever lineup I want to play with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so open for that. That'd be incredible if they brought Joey Votto home. And that just feels like the icing on top of the cake for a team that is ready to break out, a team that did start to break out this season, and a team that needs to improve on 91 wins. And Joey Votto helps them improve on 91 wins. It's not going to be an easy offseason. We can get into that the next couple episodes or later on in this one. The thing that is going to be interesting this offseason, Craig, is everything that we're reading from some of the analysts, from even some of the own Sportsnet guys. Blue Jays are going to have a lot more competition this offseason. There are teams that are going to be committed to adding payroll. The Tigers, that Tucker Barnhart trade is just the start. The Tigers are getting close to being able to go in and take a whole bunch of guys. And so are the Miami Marlins. There's a bunch of teams that are looking to add payroll. And the Blue Jays are not going to have as easy of a path to a stud like they did with George Springer this past offseason. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and to that point, I think that's where you got to start looking at these ideas like this. And to this point of talking about the Cincinnati Reds and what you would do with that, that's a hell of a lineup with even Suarez. You know, I know the guy batted .199 last season, but this is a guy that's hit 30 home runs the last 5 years or something like that.
Didn't he get 50 in 2019, or was he in like the high 40s? It was pretty close to 50.
But just to put that out there, he might have batted .98, but he had 31 home runs and almost 80 RBIs with that. You talk about having any increase in bat to ball ratio in our lineup that we have. He's batting in his lineup spots where Gurriel was this season.
Yeah.
With Gurriel moving up in the lineup if we don't have Semien and company up at the top, you know.
Yeah.
You got him batting in Randall Grichuk's spot. I'm sorry to say, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. And it was 49 in 2019. He had 49 home runs. And until these last few seasons, he was like a solid 270, 280 hitter with like a 330, 340 OBP. He's a good player. I would hope that they could get him back to at least 250 with an OBP of maybe 330, 340 coming to Toronto. But I'm all on board for Eugenio Suarez.
Funny enough, I happen to be this cruising around. I found an article about 2 seconds ago from CBS Sports in their MLB section that was talking about the fire sale going on possibly in Cincinnati. And they actually named Jesse Winker as a place for the Blue Jays.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
That really fits.
Yeah. You know, unless you get rid of Grichuk and a couple others.
Awesome outfielders. So unless you're going to be rotating each spot with Winker, Gurriel, Springer and company, which honestly,
that's fine.
That's the difference in the world between having Springer healthy for this whole season playing center field and then, you know, Oscar and them can keep flipping. I don't want to mess with Gurriel putting him in right field, even though he clearly has the arm for it. But that seems like a sneaky Blue Jay move to me. That has old written all over it.
But not like anything player. Passive.
Yeah. So, and that's a guy that would actually in the next few years be eligible to probably be somewhere in the top of our lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll be curious, and the Reds are not the only team that is open for sale. The Miami Marlins have pretty publicly said their pitching rotation is up for sale, and they want a catcher. So that's another team to look out for, because I would not be surprised. I think we said this last time with Chris. Alejandro Kirk seems like a prime trade candidate for this team, especially with the way Gabe Moreno is coming up. And today, Ross Atkins was saying everybody he talks to is bringing up Moreno's name, and he cannot stop smiling. So you have that coming up here. You know what? The way Danny Jansen finished the season and the fact that he got hotter, I am totally fine to move Alejandro Kirk if that means you get a Sandy Alcantara or you get a Pablo Lopez or a Lesiander Hernandez. I don't remember how to pronounce his first name, but any one of those three you get for Alejandro Kirk, sign me up. There's going to be options via trade for this team without a doubt to add a young controllable starter from Cincinnati or Miami. Guaranteed they'll be on it.
So to that point, is Gabriel Moreno untouchable for you in a trade, or is it having to be a match made in heaven?
I think he's probably as close to untouchable as it can get. I would not be surprised if he is legit untouchable. But that being said, we all thought Austin Martin was untouchable, and he went to the Twins for...
There's something different there, though, because of the position.
Yeah, it's definitely the position and the possibility of playing third base.
Yeah, I think if we're getting the right chip back, it'd be one thing. But to me, Gabriel Moreno is as blue chip of a prospect as you can
right now. Definitely.
He's already on the 40-man roster, so they're going to have to make a move one way or the other to bring him up. He's got a pretty accelerated path to the majors for the age of 21, just saying.
Yeah, 100%.
But the Blue Jays also have a pretty good top prospects list anyway, because I wouldn't be surprised if people in that same equation, if we're making those trades, Aralvis Martinez and Jordan Groshans, I'm sorry to say, they're fair game right now.
I think so. Especially Groshans.
Yeah. And I think there's enough other fun, intriguing pieces in there too, with the Kevin Smiths having the resurgence season.
Yep.
I don't think they're down in that far ballpark where they're thinking about trading somebody like Manuel Beltre yet, but I think there's enough filler up there to be able to get the major league team fucking solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worry about filling this list back in, because the team we have, I don't know if you saw that little clip I sent you on Twitter really quick before we started. Even 3 years down the line right now, the Blue Jays lineup is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They're just stacked to the nines and to the point that you can make trades and be okay with the minor league system, the way it is. The other thing that we could keep an eye on is I would not be surprised if they trade a big name pitcher from the system again. Like, I don't want to say somebody like why am I blanking on his name? Obviously not SWR. He's gone. The other one who's right around there was drafted right around Manoa's frame. It'll come to me. I'm going to look it up, but I know it was kind of on the agenda, but Ross Atkins on At the Letters was raving about Gunnar Hoglund, their draft pick from this past season. And he, according to Ross Atkins, when he's healthy, has a very, very quick track to get to the major leagues. I would not be surprised, maybe not this year, but next year, Gunnar Hoglund is the next version of Alek Manoah, where he comes up here and is absolutely a stud. I am finding this guy's name.
while you're doing your homework here.
I got it. It's Klopfenstein. I would not be surprised to see Klopfenstein in a trade.
I know you're big on him, and I think you have every right to be big on him. I think he's going to be a hell of a pitcher, but for the Blue Jays fans, I'm going to be this guy and just list this off, because this is a wonderful tweet from the people over at Baseball America, what our quote unquote 2025 projected starting lineup is. And I'm just going to go through it by position here. It's really quick. Gabriel Moreno catching, Vlad Jr. At first, Santiago Espinal at second, Aralvis Martinez at third, Bo Bichette obviously at short, Lourdes, Springer, and Teoscar in the outfield still, Alejandro Kirk DHing. That's a pretty good offense, just saying.
Okay.
Then Manoah, Berríos, Nate Pearson, Hoglund, as you just mentioned, another young, talented pitcher in Ricky Tiedemann, and then Jordan Romano closing.
Wait, so they still have Berríos on the team in 2025?
They're expecting him to stay, but that wouldn't legit. Wow. Now that's with assuming an extension.
Right. Yeah. I'm all for it. I hope they keep Berríos around.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And to 100%. That point, some of the things we just said, even to that point, if they traded Alejandro Kirk for this other bat that we're talking about here, the rest of that lineup falls into place really well. And I think that if the Blue Jays are not kicking the tires on a Jesse Winker slash whatever idea for getting a bat from maybe Cincinnati and then doing the pitcher flip with somebody like Kirk to the Marlins, that's going to change the whole complexion of how this lineup looks, because those guys that they're getting in return, Brendan, are not one-year wonder kind of like guys are going to show up as a rental. Those are guys here for two, three years and are actually, like I said, part of this 2025 roster.
Yeah. Yeah, Castillo would be. I'm pretty sure Sandy Alcantara would be. Pablo Lopez would be. Anybody that they make a trade from the Reds or the Marlins like that we just spoke about would be a part of the team 2024, 2025. And that's why you can give up the prospect cap.
Free agent eligible until next year.
Yeah, exactly.
3 years of that after that. So very exciting stuff that we can even just be tossing these things around. And
totally.
Imagine who would have thought that two of those teams would have been selling guys like that.
Yeah, they're on the up and up. Like, I guess maybe they're just I don't know. Like, I guess if maybe the Marlins find a taker for one of them, they keep the other two. Like, if they get their catcher that they want, they're very clearly wanting a catcher. That's why that Blue Jays link is so big there with Miami. Maybe they move Lopez. Maybe they move Becantara, and then they're good.
Yeah, Alejandro Kirk spells a lot of the things that Derek Jeter looks for in prospect capital. And I forget the woman general manager's name there, but she is incredible.
Okay, Ming, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. She's putting the hell of a team together there in Miami, which in the next 2-3 years is going to be kind of scary, I think, because they're building it around their pitching. And it looks very Atlanta Braves-ish to me.
Yeah. Well, they're in this very similar vein to the Reds, where they both made the playoffs in 2020 with that expanded field and only 60 games. And they are maybe in a little bit of a retool mode right now, because they know that right now just isn't their time with how stacked the National League is. But maybe in 2 years, maybe probably not when the Dodgers peak off all of it, because I don't know when they'll ever peak off with all that money they put into the team. But like, maybe that'll be the end of the line for the Nationals or a couple other teams that won't be in it anymore in the race. So, yeah, retooling, surprising, but at the same time, I think they have an abundance of talent that they can move to teams to get younger pieces that will help them in 2-3 years time.
Yeah. And if it goes anything like a Tampa Ray Rays move, maybe their rookies all hit and their Jazz Chisholm's all, and they just run with it. But that team's going to be very sneaky. And maybe they do see this offseason as an opportunity to strike, because the Atlanta Braves, even though they just won the World Series, they're going to be a little vulnerable if they don't get Freddie Freeman back. The Mets can't figure out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, the Mets are a mess.
The Washington Nationals are hoping to win with Juan Soto again.
Yeah.
There's a lot of question marks in that National League East. Outside the Philadelphia Phillies seem to be running into next season pretty much with the same team that just missed the playoffs this year. So maybe that gets off to a better start, and they are a playoff team this year. But anyway, this is an American League podcast for the Blue Jays. So let's talk some more fun here. I sent you an article, Brendan, from a friend of the show, Ian Hunter, at the Daily Hive. And this was a rather interesting read, I thought, as far as Blue Jays' possible targets. And he calls out 5 targets, free agents-wise, and that I thought were a little, honestly, they seem far-fetched, and then I read into it, and I'm like, you know, these are actually fits.
Yeah.
I think that's where some of this is goes. So I just wanted to go through this list and talk this out. We'll go option by option.
Yep.
Give me a percentage-wise or a 1 through 10 if you think this is any kind of reality or not. But let's count. I'm going to do it backwards, so we'll start from their quote-unquote fifth spot. Michael Conforto. This is a left-handed bat, Brendan, that had a really rough season with the Mets, but it's very intriguing bat.
It is a very intriguing bat, Michael Conforto, but I don't know. Like, he got the QO, didn't he? I'm pretty sure I saw Conforto got a QO, the qualifying offer.
He was full on rejecting it. He's already been pretty.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. You're right. That's what I saw. He rejected it.
He a Met.
There's a lot of interest in Michael Conforto. That's for sure. That's been known. When at the time the tweet went out that he rejected it, whoever reported that he rejected it said there's a lot of interest in him. I don't see it happening. I don't. I just think they'll roll with the guys that they have and find a way to get a lefty bat a different way than Conforto. I think there'll be too many other teams that will bid way above what the Blue Jays want to pay for him.
Which is shocking to me, because it's all potential at this point, right? He had a few good seasons where he was trending upwards, obviously tons of power. more. And that's the intriguing attribute amongst Michael Conforto, and at the age of 28. So he's going to be signing at what you would think be his prime years going forward here in the next couple. But after a year like he had, where he's barely been, this guy was a free agent in my fantasy baseball season all year. Yeah. You know, only hitting 14 home runs after having 30 the year before. Just really, really rough. And for a guy that made $12.25 million in 2021,
yeah.
This is a little rough to figure out where contract-wise you're shooting at for him, because this almost honestly, to me, sounds screams one-year prove-me-wrong deal, kind of like Semien had with the rough year with the COVID stuff. I don't think he comes back in that kind of level, but this is a guy that has the bat-the-ball stuff that might be that guy. I agree with you that this is looks good on paper for the Blue Jays, but doesn't really fit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that he, just based on the interest of him turning on the QO, it seems like he'll get like a 3 or 4 year deal. So if it comes down to he's still on the free agent market in January or early February and he wants to do a 1 year prove it deal, kind of like Semien, I'm all for it. But I think he'll be scooped up pretty quick.
Yeah, it screams that buy low guy, like you said, between the CBA stuff and everything right now. You spend on Michael Conforto as a corner outfielder is not hurting your lineup and your budget. Right. At this point, you are on that 1 year hurry up and prove me wrong deal.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The next guy, and this one this one had danced around a lot. Eduardo Escobar ended up having a ridiculous second half and basically was one of the biggest reasons the Milwaukee Brewers had an offense in the second half and were really run around with it. 28 home runs and just had a 107 WCR or WRC plus. Freaking nuts. I just couldn't believe that he came out of nowhere to do this. And a guy that plays multiple positions, and the key one for the Blue Jays, Brendan, third base.
Yeah, no, see, I can see Eduardo Escobar being on this team. And that's because he can play third, he can play short, I'm pretty sure he's played some second base in his career, but because he's not in the upper echelon talent on the shortstop market or third base, like with a Correa or Corey Seager or Trevor Story or Semien, I think Escobar lingers on the free agent market. It's either he lingers on the free agent market or a team that knows they're not going to spend in that upper echelon with a Seager or a Correa wants to get business done and lock in third base. Escobar could be one that either signs really quickly or he's a free agent in January and looks for a home. I'm all for it. I like Eduardo Escobar. He's a solid, solid player. He's somebody who could bat fifth or sixth in your lineup and probably hit 30, 40 bombs, depending on the season. Probably closer to 30. But with the Blue Jays lineup, would not surprise me to see him get closer to 40 home runs. And that WRC plus probably improved. And you could probably have him on a 3 or 4 year deal. This is probably one of the last major contracts he's going to get. And
right. Sign a 4 year deal with him if it gets it done.
Yeah, I would.
4 year deal compared to most of these options.
I don't think it'll be expensive. I don't think he gets anywhere near 20. He's not a $20 million a year player. Maybe a $12 to $15 million per season player. And if you get that for 4 years, you do 460. I see no reason for it. Maybe even 345. Sign me up.
The thing that excites me the most about him is that stretch run with the Brewers. That literally lit a fire under his ass. And I'm not saying he needed a fire lit under his ass, but this is a guy that basically put the offense on his shoulders a little bit in Milwaukee and was for a team that was struggling for offense because Christian Yelich had an off year and whatnot. He was able to shine in that offense and really get them going for a pitching staff that needed some run support. So that was a insanely awesome move by the front office of the Brewers to be able to swipe him from the Arizona Diamondbacks at the trade line and run with it. Like I said, out of those 28 home runs, he probably hit 3/4 of them with the Brewers.
Yeah, he had a fantastic finish to the season.
So he's a veteran too. So that's another guy that comes into this clubhouse that, you know, helps out with that veteran presence too. But I think this is somebody, honestly, that could pair very well with Kevin Biggio and maybe figure out how to get him over that next piece.
Would not be surprised. Yeah, I'm all for Escobar. If it comes down to that, I really hope that they play in the higher echelon of guys. But at the same time, if Escobar is lingering around the free agent market and you can get him on a nice 3 year deal that's not too expensive, then that's a good piece of business.
Reality level?
I'm going to go, like, if we go out of 10, I'll give Michael Conforto maybe a 3 out of 10. in terms of reality level with him signing here. I'm going to give Eduardo Escobar like a 7.5. I would not be surprised. It's either going to be him or Kyle Seager for third base if they don't get one of the top tier guys.
I agree with you. And then funny enough, I think it's funny we're talking about this guy. We're talking about another guy here in the next level here in Ian's article that is actually basically the same guy on paper and Chris Taylor of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And infielder, outfielder.
Yep.
You can
play out there if you need.
But he's 31. How much, you know, I get the Escobar thing. He's a middle infielder seem to always, for some reason, regardless of how rigorous the middle infielder job is, they always have some ridiculous tenure. They play forever. They're made out of rubber. I don't know what it is. And the thing about Chris Taylor is it just worries me. I know he's done really good the last 2 years with the Dodgers, but where did it come from before that? Is he a Jose Bautista candidate? I don't see that. But I feel like he's going to get a giant lump of money based on those 2 years from the Dodgers, and he's not going to quite pan out to what we did, you know, or what we're expecting with the contract on that whole thing. And even though he does fit this team because of the flexibility, us needing some infield depth and whatnot, and somebody like this that can just play every day, but maybe not the same position.
Yeah.
A guy like that that can hit 20 home runs is very intriguing, but I would, if it comes down to him and Escobar, I would be throwing the money at Escobar.
Same. I'm with you. I don't know why, and this is not based on anything other than just gut feel. Eduardo Escobar feels like a Blue Jay more so than Chris Taylor. Like, I can't picture Chris Taylor as a Blue Jay, and that's not based on anything at all other than just gut feel. But yeah, they're very similar in the same ballpark of player, where they're not in the top tier with those top tier guys, but either one of them will be around the free agent market in January or early February without a contract, or they sign really quickly for teams who want to get business done.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good comp here, but to me, if it was like, if I'm trying to pick Chris Taylor, it's like when we picked up David Eckstein in 2005, it just screams like, okay, he's good, but he sucked when he played us.
Yeah.
So, I just feel like it's going to be something like that where it for the obvious other alternative of that is you have a chance to get somebody really good. Not, you know, I'm trying to think of a better comp than, but Semien is the only one that pops into my head that you have somebody that could hit 20, 30 home runs. Like we were expecting from Semien. We ended up getting an MVP candidate instead, but we were expecting to get 20, 30 home runs with a 280 batting average from somebody like Semien when we picked him up last offseason. And we got plenty more than that. But I think that's the sweet spot for where Escobar would be normally. That's why I'm kind of using that comparison there.
Sure. Yeah, I don't disagree.
So let's talk a couple of sexier names here. So the next on the list was 33-year-old outfielder Starling Marte. Maybe I'm just in the party mood, you know? Got to get Marte going on this team. But, oh, my God, when he came over to Oakland last season, that he did the same kind of thing that Semien did for this locker room.
Yeah.
It was a whole culture shock thing. And watching him play the game that he plays with all of his tools – like I said, at the age of 33 and stealing bases and playing the kind of game he's doing, Brendan, I know we have outfielders, but this is still one of those moves that screams that it can make your outfield better.
Yeah.
And we have four solid bats that play in the outfield instead.
Yeah. I would probably put on the confidence level. I didn't give one for Chris Taylor. And if you can't get it from that, I give Chris Taylor a 1 out of 10. He gets a 1. I would have Marte at maybe like a 4 or 5. I could see. So the only way I can see them being in on an outfielder at this point, Craig, especially because we got to remember Grichik's still on the roster. You have four outfielders right now. Who knows what they do with Corey Dickerson? I know he's a free agent. Maybe you try to bring him back. But the only way I see them entering for a Chris Taylor or a Starling Marte is if Gurriel's traded. And if Gurriel's traded for a piece like Jose Ramirez or something along those lines, then I'm all for Starling Marte. However, that's going to be a debate all offseason, kind of like last offseason with Lindor. The new trade with Cleveland is going to be, do you trade Lourdes Gurriel and prospect pieces for Jose Ramirez? I'm on the yes train for that one. I know that that's polarizing. It's like 50-50 for teams, but I love Jose Ramirez, and they've already talked to Cleveland about it this past trade deadline. Imagine if they actually did pull the trigger on getting Ramirez. They would have made the playoffs. I'll tell you that much. They would not have missed by just one game. But Yeah, Marte, I would put out a 4 or 5 just because I can see that avenue opening up where they need to add an outfielder because they subtracted Lourdes Gurriel Jr. from the roster.
Yeah, I think the only likelihood of them doing that, other than the fact that they get, I just don't see if it played out for the Blue Jays, we're looking for a way to improve their offense at all, right? And for some reason, late in their mid part of the offseason here, Starling Marte's lingering around. He's your best avenue to improve this offense because of all those tools. The guy stole 47 bases last year.
Yeah, he's still getting good and fast.
And I think that's an opportunity that the Blue Jays at that point can't pass up. Throw them the brick of money and just figure it out. And then you get the guys in the locker room and figure out what happens. Somebody's going to get hurt. It happens every goddamn year. There's going to be a way to find playing time for those four guys if we have them. But if you were going to tell me right now that we are going to trade Lourdes Gurriel Jr., which I don't agree with your other alternative motive. And you were telling me right at that same time that Starling Marte was my compensation prize for that whole thing. I'm going to probably be okay with that at the end of the day, because we did improve the whole team in that same equation. But right now I feel like I'm trading a hole for a hole by grabbing a third baseman and having no left fielder and vice versa in that trade for Jose Ramirez. That's my problem with that trade. I'm not improving the major league team at that point. I'm just hoping that I can get a better outfielder and then a better third baseman. So
yeah, it's going to be a debate all off season. I mean, Ramirez is super, super, super cheap and can allow you to sign another big name free agent, and he's still an elite level talent. And it'd be, yeah, if you trade Gurriel, you sign Marte, and Gurriel gets you Jose Ramirez. At the end of the day, I think that means the team is improved upon from last year. That's all I'll say. We'll debate on that as the offseason goes along.
I tend to agree with you on that, but if I'm making that trade for Jose Ramirez, I need to have that left fielder on the back burner, and you can't tell me it's Corey Dickerson.
Right, yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Needs to be a better guy than Corey Dickerson.
I like Corey Dickerson.
Yeah, I'm fine with him coming back.
Randall Grichuk.
Not as a full yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I want Dickerson back. Replace Grichuk, find a way to get rid of him.
Yeah, and I think that's an easier sell than anything, is I think a lot of that kind of thing could be the difference between getting dollar amounts right in any of these trade scenarios that we were talking about this evening as far as that goes. I think that is where those things fall into place. But let's talk the prize, according to Ian Hunter in this article, because this one, it spurs a very similar argument from last offseason. What do you do if you grab a shortstop?
Yeah,
and stop that. If I'm looking at all the shortstops on the free agency market right now, outside of Marcus Semien, this is the one that I would think would be the best move for the Toronto Blue Jays, and maybe a little bit of a slight cheaper deal because he was hurt a lot last season. And that's Corey Seager, not Kyle Seager.
Yeah, the better Seager,
the better Seager, or at least the younger Seager.
Yeah.
It's like 5 years difference in it.
Oh, I know, they're pretty different age.
But Corey Seager is a premium shortstop, and there's not any other way of saying that. He's in that same class as the Carlos Correas, the Javi Baez, and in my opinion, he has still a lot of baseball to get better at.
Oh, yeah.
And he has the ability to do it, and he is saying, son, he's pretty damn good.
He's elite. He's definitely elite. That's the similar type of signing George Springer, is if you get Corey Seager in the building. It's probably going to cost you over $200 million to get it done. They just dished out $150 for George Springer. I was asking somebody who's pretty in the know today. I could share it. I'm not going to share his name, obviously, but he feels the Blue Jays might sniff around that upper tier, but decide to split the money around a little bit for 3 to 4 to 5 guys to patch in the holes. And those can be good players, but not elite level players. So somebody in the same vein as like an Eduardo Escobar, a Steven Matz, a Kevin Gausman, those type, instead of going for the superstars. That's still a way to make your baseball team better. But if they do sniff around and are serious about improving on a 91 win team and they want to make a legit run, Corey Seager's the guy. You move Bo Bichette to shortstop. And Bo's already said in the past, he'll move off your shortstop if it means you get a Lindor, which obviously didn't happen. And I'm sure he would do the same for Corey Seager. So...
one Lindor, I think we made the right idea. Just saying.
Yeah, I know. I think they made the right choice given the reported cost of what that deal would have been for the Blue Jays. But yeah, Seager out of all the ones, I think makes the most sense. Trevor Story is a good player, an elite level player, but there are some holes in his swing. He's okay. There's some cause for concern with Trevor Story outside of Coors Field. Carlos Correa. Now that's there are some people, including yourself, Craig, that were riffy about the Springer signing. Carlos Correa has a lot more dirt on him with the whole cheating scandal. So I don't know how that'd be received.
What the Yankees and the Mets deal with that mess? I don't want to touch it.
I am terrified, but I do think Correa is off to the Yankees. Not that it means anything, but he was spotted in New York. He was in New York, and he posted on his Instagram story the other day. I think Correa is a Yankee. I really do.
His persona screams Yankees to me. It doesn't scream Jays.
No, I agree.
Is the equivalent to me of having another Bo Bichette on this team. That is Bo Bichette in, 3 years?
Yeah.
At that his career, because Corey Seager is on the same path that I want Bo Bichette on.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very accurate statement to where Bo's trending right now. But to that point, I think you would have to tell Corey Seager in that equation that he is the shortstop.
Yeah.
But
definitely,
I don't think that Bo Bichette right now, with Bo Bichette out of all these guys in the locker room, he's the one I think that's foaming at the mouth for a really competitive postseason run. More than a lot of the guys. If this is the difference between him getting that or not, I think he's gonna be like, just fucking do it. I don't care. Right?
100%. I completely agree. Yeah.
So let me ask this to you, because I'm gonna bring us back to the reality level for Corey Seager on you. Let's say they are ready to throw the 5-year deal at Marcus Semien. That's gonna be somewhere easily, I think, right now in the 150 ballpark from him basically being an MVP within two of the last 3 seasons in that conversation, right? I think that they were actually asking for 5-168 was what I think I saw the other day reported out on Twitter. God knows where that lead came from. But that seems like a F ton of money for Marcus Semien. If the Blue Jays were even comprehending that, Corey Seager, that's probably the deal he's actually looking for. And he's 3-4 years younger than Marcus Semien. That spells a little bit more of a safer bet for that money. And if you're ready to pony up the dough on one guy and you get the same equivalent over here, not to mention a World Series champion, I think that spells the same success for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, here it is. So Marcus Semien's Jim Bowden predicted their contracts, and they have Semien at 5-150. So 30 okay. million a year, just shy of 30 mil. Robbie Ray, I know we're not talking about him, but he's on this tweet. It's 5-120. But Marcus Semien at 32-33, getting 5-148. It's a lot of money.
That same dollar amount's looking a lot nicer of an investment on Corey Seager.
Yeah, and I would up that too. I would bring that to 6 or 7 years and up that to closer to 200, because I think that's what you got to do to get it in the conversation with Corey Seager.
But I'm happy to make that dollar amount.
Same.
To get those extra couple years of Corey Seager when he's at the age of 27.
Definitely.
As much as I love Marcus Semien, I love what he brings to this ballpark. I was ready to buy a jersey, but I wasn't about to do it for a guy that was on the team for 1 year.
Yeah.
But I will go out. That will be a jersey I will go out and buy if they sign Corey Seager. And I,
yeah, 100%.
I didn't say I was going to buy a Springer one. And I'm sorry to say, I liked him this season after all the nonsense. I'm still not doing it.
I still haven't bought mine yet. I was very hands-off this season in terms of buying merchandise, but that'll change for now that we can go to games again.
But to that point, what do you think the reality is? If that's the front office's thinking, and they're thinking about spending that kind of money, this is a guy that matches up with the Blue Jays' young core that they have already established incredibly, and almost to that point, better than what we just did with the Springer move. That's guaranteeing your success offensively for the almost the next fucking decade.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's tough. Like, are you asking, do they put their money towards Semien or Seager?
Yeah, reality bites, unfortunately. Like I said, if it came down to those, I think we just established where our mindset was if we were allowed to be in the GM chair. But to that point, I really think there is some smoke to the idea of them wanting to bring back Marcus Semien.
I do too. I think if you had to choose right now, they'd bring back Semien because they already know who he is. They already know who he is as an individual. You know that he got along with so many players. He helped Bo Bichette this season. He helped a lot of the young guys. Great clubhouse guy. Great person off the field. At the end of the day, does Semien actually come back? I think the allure to the West Coast is going to be too strong. That's where he wants to be. That's where his family is. I think that the geography is the only thing that will stop the Blue Jays from keeping Marcus Semien. But if they make an offer that's in the same ballpark, you never know.
Yeah, I hated reading it the other day, but the idea of being a Seattle Mariner and being their centerpiece for the next 3 years.
See, they're in the same boat as the Tigers. Oh. They're the same boat as the Tigers, where they're going to spend some money. They're going to add some payroll. Even the Texas Rangers, I saw an article, were committed to add like $80 to $100 million in payroll over the next season or two. So
they have money to get people in that ballpark, man.
That's exactly. So
that's the reason that they were letting everybody in COVID, just saying.
From the get-go. It's going to be – if Semien becomes a Mariner, Mariners are going to be good. Mariners are going to add some talent, and that's just the start of it. They'll be in it. They'll be in it if they do.
So to the point of, yes, obviously we know what clubhouse presence of Semien is on that argument. The fact that we actually have two of Corey Seager's ex, you know, teammates in Ross Stripling and Hyunjin Ryu.
That could help. That definitely can help.
Very beautiful guys, and two guys that were very loved in that Dodgers clubhouse. The fact that Hyunjin Ryu signed for what he did with the Blue Jays, I think, sinks some weight in the fact that Springer just did that same thing. Obviously, the Blue Jays are ready to open the pocketbook and get, you know, everything going. And the fact that Ross Stripling has found a home in Toronto and he's, you know, pretty happy. And I really think he's
going to
get a shot at the fifth starter spot this coming season, regardless of who we sign. I think that there's some smoke to that fire, the fact of bringing Corey Seager. And I'll say I'll give you maybe a 60% chance just because of that. But
I was going to say about 5 or 6 for me on Seager. And Ross Stripling was actually with Corey Seager over the weekend on their Instagram story. So they're clearly friends. They clearly get along.
Good. So maybe I'm not just literally blowing smoke, but
no, I don't think you are. I think there could be something there. And I sent it to you and Chris in the chat today. There's already been, I don't know what who it is, obviously, they're not going to say, but a prominent, and who knows, again, what prominent means, but a prominent free agent and his agent have already gone to the Blue Jays to gauge their interest in signing this player. And if that is not, like, I'm not saying that's Corey Seager. I'm not saying that's Trevor Story. I'm not saying that's, like, one of those guys. But you never know, it could be. If there's already players and agents going to the Blue Jays asking what their interest in signing their client is, especially a prominent one.
Well, basically, the Blue Jays, only thing that Scott Boras did mention in his weird presser today. Did you?
Oh, there was something. He's getting weirder and weirder.
Smoking, man.
He's getting weirder and weirder. But no, at the end of the day, this offseason, Craig, is going to be very telling to how they finish next season. And they got their work cut out for them, as Ross Atkins said on At the Letters with Ben Nicholson-Smith and Arden Zwelling, because they need to improve on a 91 win team. Maybe if you get 91 again, that gets you into the playoffs. It's very rare that 91 win teams miss, but the Yankees will probably improve. The Rays will be the Rays. The only team I'm thinking is going to take a step back, because if the season was 1 week longer, the Red Sox would have not made the playoffs, but they did. And they went to the ALCS. But I do think the Red Sox overachieved, and I would not be surprised if Boston falls back a little bit. So, but
I think Boston is going to do whatever they can to plug the holes in that ship that they saw.
Keep Schwarber, and they're going to try to keep Schwarber. That's for sure.
Him in the middle of that lineup is a offensive godsend for them, and I think that ballpark screams Kyle Seager all day, every day. He's made for that ballpark, and made for Boston. The guy's a beefy, just saying. So I think that sums up what we were thinking here as far as things go. Is there anything you want to add on that before we play the game I thought of for this evening?
No, I'll just say it's going to be a fun offseason. I mean, every indication is they're going to go for it again and add some serious talent. There's going to be some exciting free agent signings. It's going to be a fun hot stove season. Just only thing I'll say is please CBA get resolved. Baseball cannot afford a lockout or missed time next season. So get it done, sign some players, and improve on a 91 win team, because very good chances are if you improve on 91 wins, you're in the playoffs. You will be in the playoffs.
And to that point, if it's any of the teams like we would have played this year if we were in the playoffs, I think we're taking that shit.
I know. I got, like, if they made it over Boston, they would have at least been where Boston was in the ALCS. And I think they could have beaten that Houston team.
I think we could have too, because we had a little bit, we had the pitching and the offense obviously could have beat the hell out of that pitching. Yes. I think I'll say Zach Greinke, because for some reason we can never beat Zach Greinke. So I forgot one headline, and I don't know if you even saw this one. The Blue Jays have three prospects. Oh, four, I think, that made the Arizona Fall League All-Star team.
Oh, yeah.
And mentioned one of them very extensively during the show. And that was Gabriel Moreno, and he was one of the seven top 100 prospects for Baseball America that made it. I'm just going to say these other names because there's some guys that are lingering around and that are either on our top 30 list or just outside of it. One of them has been in and out guy, Graham Spraker, who has been insanely good at Arizona Fall League. Could be a very nice, maybe, you know, outside the rotation candidate, but definitely he's a guy I think that one way or the other in the next 3 years has bullpen arm written all over him just because he's got some nasty stuff. I already mentioned Moreno, and then Spencer Horowitz was the other one, outfielder, has been just shelling baseballs and has been a really nice find. I think it was John Mayo did a really nice article that we retweeted over the weekend that is specifically about the emergence of Spencer Horowitz.
Interesting. And
it was very interesting to read because it sounds like the holes that he had early in his minor league seasons were plugged, would be the nice way of saying it. So there's some power showing through, and he's carrying it through into the Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, no, there's still talent in that minor leagues outside of the top 30. Like I think we've said the last couple off seasons, you can make a top 50 list and be excited about almost all of them. And Spraker, I remember, has been in and out of the top 25, the top 30. And you know what? If he's fixed it, he's finally found it, kind of put it together like Horowitz, then, I mean, that just adds to the intriguing prospect pool that this team has. And that's why you can afford to trade some of your upper echelon talent.
Yeah. All righty. So if you're good with that, I, like I said, I have a game that you and I can play.
Yeah, let's do it.
Our other gentleman of Chris Keegs, he got stuck at work with us. But hope all is well at the new job, buddy. we're going to play a birthday game.
All right, let's do it.
Let's talk. I want you to make two birthday wishes. One thing that you want the Blue Jays offseason to get, and then one thing physically, merchandise wise or something that you have always wanted from your Blue Jay fandom. I see you got a nice little Blue Jay wall piece behind you all of a sudden.
It's hard to see with my setup here, but it is there.
your man cave is working pretty well, other than my wife's moving into mine apparently.
So, I got my bobblehead behind me.
So like I said, I figured this would just be a fun thing to do. I'll let you ponder it, but I'm going to throw one at you, and I'm actually going to share the picture here in the feed so you can see it, because I think you're going to appreciate this, because this is actually, funny enough, from this one of my visits to Toronto. This is my merchandise pick.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, sorry. Blue Jays fans, I hope this is showing through to you. Otherwise, I'll let Brendan get a sneak peek of it here real quick, and then I'll put it back up on the actual broadcasting screen so you can see what the hell I'm talking about here. This is a Toronto Blue Jays Foo Fighters bobblehead set.
I know you love the Foo Fighters, so that would be very cool.
The concert that I went to when you and I were drinking. Wife and my dad, they were selling these at the Steam Whistle right outside the ballpark.
Oh, and you were right there.
God, I was on the opposite side of the ballpark drinking with you. The soccer rugby place.
Yes, the Black Bull is where we were. Yes.
Yeah, we'll give them their ad space. That was a really fun place to have for the ball game or anything.
And we went there after game 162 in 2019. What was the last baseball game in Toronto since this past August?
Yeah. Or did we meet there before?
I think we did both.
And waiting until you got out of work.
Oh, and before Vladdy Day, too. Shit. Yeah, I guess I just take you there.
I guess so. Yeah, God, you know, it's such a big city. You take me to one bar.
Yeah, I know. Well, now that I don't live there anymore, then I'll have to actually explore a little bit next baseball season.
I guess we'll just have to put out the Blue Jays vote on where we meet up with everybody and record fun for the show.
Yeah.
So, but that was my merchandise peak. If I was going to pick a Blue Jays merchandise, that's hitting both of my favorite things, rock and roll music and the Toronto Blue Jays. I can't lose with that gift. Not to mention.
That's super cool. That is super cool. I always gravitate towards jerseys. I love jerseys. And that was where my head initially went when that question got asked. If I had to pick a player to put on it to go into this season, obviously Springer's up there, but I was thinking about it today. If Berríos was here for another year, I would probably get José Berríos in the back of mind. I loved him as a Twin. I know you did too. I might do it even though there's no guarantee of him being here past just this year, because at least he would have four more years of Springer after next season. So I might go with José Berríos on the back of a jersey. But if it's not a jersey, something like a map where I can easily see, like in my man cave behind me, put a map of the stadiums I've been to in baseball and have a little picture frame for each of them with a picture in front of each ballpark of me being there. I don't know. I love ballparks, love going to see them. I love road trips. They are so much fun, and it'd be a nice way to like visualize it every single day.
Yeah, and I know you've had a pretty good eclective move of already catching things for what would be on that map. I know you had the Milwaukee, St. Louis, Detroit. Off the top of my head, I know this. Obviously, you've been to the Rogers Center.
Yep.
You made it out west, any ballparks?
I walked around Petco. I've never seen a game there. I thought I've seen Dodger Stadium. From the airplane, I've seen Dodger Stadium. That doesn't count. You know what's so random?
Dodger Stadium, but typical L.A. traffic from where I was fucking staying.
You know what's random about the stadiums I've been to? I've been to every NL Central ballpark, and the Blue Jays only go there once every 3 years. I've been to Cincinnati, Wrigley, as you said, Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. I've been to every NL Central ballpark.
I've been to the old Cincinnati Stadium. I actually went and saw I met Jim Leland. That was really cool. He was the Marlins coach at the time that year they won the World Series. I got an autograph from him and Kevin Brown. They were hanging out when we walked in the ballpark way early, because I just wanted to get in there. He's my brother. My brother was a giant Deion Sanders fan.
Oh yeah. Who wasn't at
the time. So we were down there goofing around and had a good time. But, that's one of the ones I've been wanting to go to. That ballpark is beautiful on TV. And, I know you've been to a lot of American League and National League East ones too.
Yep.
It's one of the other ones that you and I have both been to is Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's new ballpark. Amazing. Beautiful. Pittsburgh's amazing. Pittsburgh's awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've been in more National League ballparks, or at least if you include stadiums, like I've walked around or at least been inside. I've been by Chase Field in Phoenix, which is huge. You know what? That ballpark reminds me so much of Miller Park, where it's just massive. And it's just like, how is this a baseball stadium? It looks like a football stadium.
That's the thing. See, I still, out of all the ballparks I've been to, like I said, the Rogers Center, as much as I'll say, it still feels like home. But the Milwaukee and Miller Park, which I don't care what the hell it's called now, it's Miller fucking Park. This felt normal to me. And that, honestly, outside of Blue Jay culture, that culture I felt like was just perfect. And the fact that they tailgate at ball games.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, it's like a Bills game. I'm perfect. Yeah. I'm fine. I just was walking around the park. I was all by myself.
Yeah.
I was there in town for a trip, and they happened to be playing. I forget which old Blue Jay prospect almost no hit the Brewers, but it was hilarious. Was playing for the Cincinnati Reds, but
DeSclafani? Was it DeSclafani?
Might have been. I feel like it was somebody more, in our elite prospect level that we, traded away for nothing, like in the Connor Green level. I'm going to have to look it up, because every ballpark I go to, I go to the game. I always will take a picture somewhere in the ballpark with a bunch of things. So people that follow me on Twitter, that's me and Bob Uecker, the statue I'm hanging out with.
That's
just all the way up on the 500 level behind home plate, like as far away from the front row as you can get. It's all Miller Beer commercial with Bob Uecker. But that ballpark, I was also walking around, and like I said, I just enjoyed it. But I also grab a program at every one I go to, and I actually do the box score. So that, I think I told you, I saw Randy Arozarena in the minor leagues. And I circled his name, which is something I do for prospects. And I'm like, that just in case I ever you know, see him come to the majors and rake. I'm wondering if I'm right. So,
yeah,
good stuff.
I also just remembered, speaking of the NL Central, I've been to every AL Central ballpark except for Kansas City. So something about the Central ballparks I've been to, like Target Field's amazing. If you can get to Target Field, Minneapolis, I know, like me and my buddy a couple years ago, we planned, okay, how can you do a road trip that encapsulates as many ballparks as possible? Minneapolis is just kind of one of those where you just kind of got to do it on your own. So is Colorado, because it's in the kind of the middle of nowhere. There's no real anywhere driving distance by there. You could do all the West Coast at the same time. You probably tack on Phoenix with that one for Chase Field, but Minneapolis, Kansas City is kind of on its own. Well, you can kind of tack in St. Louis, but there's a couple that's kind of out there where you can't really tack on any others. But Minneapolis,
16, me and my dad tried to do seven stadiums in a week, and we drove all the way down to Baltimore. Started at Camden Yards and then worked our way up the East Coast. Did Baltimore, Philadelphia, both New York teams, got to Boston, couldn't get tickets. And then because we're Blue Jays fans, we actually went all the way around that side of the state to end in Toronto.
Yeah.
So it was fun. But to that point, like you said, it is really, really hard to get that road trip in and get all those ballparks in a week.
No, it's tough.
You would have, I think you hit the nail on the head. If you wanted to do that, you do that in the National League West in the lower pieces, because you can either go to Arizona or San Diego to end or start. Yeah, or both.
Yeah. Oh, start in Seattle, or if you're Canadian and you want to start in Canada, go to Vancouver, get a Canadiens game, drive south to Seattle, then you go through Portland, and then you do California, and then you end up in either Phoenix or you stop in San Diego. And if you want to go to Mexico, go for it.
So, okay, random other birthday wish for this Blue Jay off season, and I'm just gonna go out there and be blunt and say, I for this talk, I want Corey fucking Seager.
Yeah, hey, that's kind of where I was leaning too, but I figured that you might say that. So Corey Seager for you, it's too easy to say both Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien coming back, so I'm gonna say something different. One of Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander, and for some reason, I think Verlander is actually kind of likely. They watched him pitch. I feel like they would be the type of team to give him a 2-year deal at like $20, $25 million. I don't even know what it'll take because he's coming off such a major injury, but I feel like the Blue Jays will pay him what it will take to get him here. And even if he's not overly good, he's not the same Verlander, still seeing Verlander on a Blue Jays mound in a Blue Jays uniform where he's thrown two no-hitters would be fun. So Scherzer or Verlander, just in terms of likelihood, because we've kind of been doing the likelihood scale, I think the likelier one is Verlander.
I tend to agree with you on that, but I'm right. To quote Scott Boras today, I'm taking it to the max. Give me Max Scherzer.
Yeah, Max Scherzer would be cool. He'd be so fun. Imagine watching him pitch, like just how amped up he gets for a sold-out Rogers Center in a playoff game. Whew, that'd be awesome.
That's the stuff of playoff wins right there, my friend. That's all I'm going to say. But other than that, Brendan, you got anything else you would like to add before we do our normal sign off of two claps and a Ric Flair?
Oh, now I think of, I'll say happy birthday, Craig. It is an honor to do this podcast with you as always. We welcome Chris Key back soon and eventually Adam Corsair. All the best with the family. But no, it's nice to have some actual rumors, some baseball stuff to talk about. We did our best to stretch out thin content the last month, and we're finally at hot stove season. And it was exciting to talk about this. So let's see what happens. I do think some action can happen over the course of the next couple of weeks. And it seems like there's some deals out there that the Blue Jays could close in on. So I'm not going to say next week or 2 weeks from now we'll have a deal, but I will be shocked if it goes any longer than 3 weeks if we don't have a major, somewhat major move to talk about.
Yeah, there you go. And to that point, Brendan, I know we kind of broke our Cal Ripken-like crazy streak last week of having our first off day or off week for that matter in the better part of 2 years.
We did all every week last season, even though there was barely any baseball. That was still the most remarkable achievement of this podcast in my mind. Being able to do that.
One.
Yeah. Brendan. Yeah.
But that means by the time the season starts, we got to find a way to celebrate 300.
Yeah, 100%.
So to that point, Blue Jays fans, like I said, episode 281 here. It's episode, I think, 10 or so now that we've been officially part of jaysjournal.com and part of the fan-sided podcasting network. Very exciting stuff that we have coming forward. Like I said, we're going to have some better guests and whatnot coming on. You know, not just us two knuckleheads talking like we've been for the last 2-3 years.
We got a third on. We'll get a fourth on.
Yeah, we'll get some good fun round tables going here. We got some fun ideas for the off season, and make sure you do check us out wherever you can get your podcasting pleasures. And obviously subscribe to us on YouTube if you're watching. We've had plenty of people coming and going. We're here for you. Come talk with us on the nights we record. It's pretty much every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern-ish, usually about 7:15 by the time we get our, you know, catching up for what's going on with the week with each other before we get back on here. But to that point, we are here for you, Blue Jays Nation, and we want to chat, and we are happy to have a beer with each and every one of you. And we're looking forward to that as far as, you know, hopefully holding up some celebratory beers with a World Series win in 2022. But Brendan, you ready for the two claps and Ric Flair and let's go Blue Jays?
Let's do it. Woo! Let's go Blue Jays.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.